influential poets in the country. He needs no introduction, certainly, only a welcome. In the program note, Robert Duncan writes very well of Creeley's unique sense of the line, its particular tension and rhythm, syncopation. In a review of Creeley's last book of poems, I called his primary subject matter the tangle and wonder of love. It's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Creeley once again to the Poetry Center series.
I feel like I'll never go home.
I feel like I've been up all night for many days. It's a great pleasure to welcome Robert Creeley once again. I know some people who have very different attitudes towards that. Well, here we go. We start at the beginning. I love this. This is one time I'm reading in Bleecker Street, and Allen Ginsberg just put this on the table in front of me to remind me what the whole thing was about. The rhythm. It is all a rhythm. It is all a rhythm, from the shutting door to the window opening, the seasons, the sun's light, wait a minute, I've got to collect myself for a moment. You get very heady. No, it's a lovely, lovely group of people. You get very, very excited by them. And I have to come back to it. The rhythm. It is all a rhythm, from the shutting door to the window opening, the seasons, the sun's light, the moon, the oceans, the growing of things, the mind in men, personal, recurring, in them again, thinking the end is not the end, the time returning, themselves dead, but someone else coming. If in dead, death, I am, let me try this again. It's awful, awful. Just done this too much. I've done it, not this particular reading, but I've done this too much. I try to think of the circumstances, not in which this quote poem was written, but the particular life that it refers to, which it states. It's now an argument between me and the page, which is an awful, awful condition of reality. The rhythm. It is all a rhythm, from the shutting door to the window opening, the seasons, the sun's light, the moon, the oceans, the growing of things, the mind in men, personal, recurring, in them again, thinking the end is not the end, the time returning, themselves dead, but someone else coming. If in death I am dead, then in life also, dying, dying, and the women cry and die. The little children grow only to old men. The grass dries, the force goes, but is met by another, returning, oh, not mine, not mine, and in turn dies. The rhythm which projects from itself continuity, bending all to its force, from window to door, from ceiling to floor, light at the opening, dark at the closing. The rocks. Trying to think of some way out the rocks of thought, which displace, dropped in, the water, much else. So life is water. Love also has substance of like kind. Wanting water, a Sunday morning God will not provide. Is it my wife, her warmth lying beside me? Is that sense of warm moistness the condition in which all grows? Drop the rock. Think well of me. Water. The sun's sky in form of blue sky that water will never make even in reflection. Sing song, mind's form, feeling, if mistaken, shaken, broken waters forms, love's era in water. Should be love's era in water. Lovely. I mean, I don't know where I am at the moment. I've been so many places in the last 2 weeks in New York, and first in New York, then Los Angeles, back to New York, back to Los Angeles. It's ridiculous to be moved in that way by any concern. The mountains in the desert. The mountains blue now at the back of my head. Such geography of self and soul, brought to such limit of sight, I cannot relieve it, nor leave it, my mind locked in seeing it as the light fades. Tonight let me go, at last out of whatever mind I thought to have, and all the habits of it. Waiting. He pushes behind the words, which awkward catch and turn him to a disturbed and fumbling man. What if it all stops? Then silence is as silence was again. What if the last time he was moved to touch, work out in his own mind, such limits was the last? And then a quiet, a dull space of hanging actions, all depending on some time, had come and gone. God help him then, if such things can. That risk is all there is. The invitation. If it ever is, as it will be, then enough is enough. They think in clusters round the interminable subject, all but lost to my mind. Well, here I am, they say, together, or here you are, them and it. Let's build a house of human pieces, arms and hair, not telling anyone, shout from the feet, face facts as accumulations. We can do it, or and as it's done, what flesh can do, home again, we'll say. We'll fall down streets, rolling balls of clear substance. I love those poems. The turn. Each way the turn twists to be apprehended. Now she is there. Now she is not, goes, but did she, having gone, went before the eye saw nothing. The tree cannot walk. All its going must be violence. They listen to the saw cut, the roots scream, and in eating even a stalk of celery, there will be pathetic screaming. But what we want is not what we get. What we saw, we think we will see again. We will not moving, we will move and then stop. Let's read something happy. I hate that kind of jazz. I like this, is a nice poem. Who was it? Lou Welch tonight. We were talking earlier this evening, and we were talking about I Hate Hair. It's a song called I Hate Your Hair. it's a lovely song. And it was the whole business of, this. I'm very aware of this painting right here, Ellsworth Kelly. That's, you know, like they say, that's my generation. Baby. No, that's, it better be as good as that. You know, you don't have anything else. I have lovely people. Again, let's just think of, like, on the way over here tonight, we were thinking of the particular condition of people. Well, Ellsworth Kelly, Frank Stella, Larry Poon's younger, but I mean, the whole condition of sight as what is there. You know, lovely. See, now this, someone said, you know, this Jackson Pollock is a beautiful piece of work. But it isn't that I prefer Ellsworth Kelly to Jackson Pollock, but Ellsworth Kelly is my scene. That's what we have to state. Much as I loved, much as I love Jackson Pollock, I want that. The dream. Such perfection of dream would first hurt, would tear impression from impression, making a fabric of pain, then begin again its own insistence. In the dream, I see two faces turned, one of which I assume mine, one of which I assume. It is what I now make up of it. I cannot see more than hair at first, a long flowing hair there fits it, faces toward me as I in it turn. Then again pain for some reason. Why does it hurt? But my feeling is this is what you enjoy, so twist to it while the eye of the other face watches me in pain. I do not want what I want. I dream it in these two painful things. Why should she not be attacked, literally? So I attack my mother, break what I can reach, the hair, the thing I came from. If all women are mothers, what are men standing in dreams, mine or theirs, empty of all but themselves? They are so lonely, unknown there. I run for whatever is not them. Turning into that consequence makes me my mother, hating myself. In the day, the instruction is merely stand up, an old joke relating to the male genital, up, up. At night, it is the complex, as all things are themselves and their necessity, even sexual. So cunts and cocks, as eyes, noses, mouths, have their objects. Hermaphrodite, one sexed, bisected in their lust. What was the dream? I have forgotten it, even if I knew it, or dreamed it more than thinking. It was to have been, it was, such I thought, thinking what to dream and what to dream. There was hair, it hurt, I felt the pain, I felt I did. I will not change into anything you don't like if you will stay with me as you said you would. Don't go away if this is where we are. One way of the two, one faces one. In the air there is no tremor, no odor. There is a house around them of wood, of walls. The mark is silence. Everything hangs. As he raises his hand to not strike her, as again his hand is raised, she has gone into another room. In the room left by her, he cannot see himself as in a mirror, as a feeling of reflection. He thinks of something else. All the locked time, all the letting go down into it as a locked room come to, this time not changed, but the way of feeling, secured by walls and books, a picture hanging down, a scent of shifted dust on all he puts his hand on, disorder, papers and letters, and accumulations of clothing and bedclothes and under his feet the rug bunches. I want to go back to prose for a moment. Same thing. The Lover. I love this story. I love. It's a rather long story. I'll read it anyhow. It was written a long time ago. But it comes into these preoccupations. Outside, beneath the window on the grass which grew as an uneven... outside, beneath the window on the grass which grew in an uneven covering, the earth coming through in patches where the grass had worn thin, the cats were playing. The sun was as high as the noon would find it, and yet the air had an edge of chill in it, and the sky was a yellow-blue, the chill and hardness. It was summer, but they were north, so far north that even the summer was part of it, cold and not the open warmth of the south which they had grown used to a year ago, that they had traveled in with the cats as unwelcome retainers, servants of their love. They had need for an audience. At noon, the glasses and sandwiches sat on the table, and they before them, and they both ate without haste or eagerness, but more as occasion usual for which there was custom. Still, looking at them together, it was to catch some of the reason for them being together. There seemed to be a reason. She was short and he was tall, and both were somewhat dark with brown hair, eyes rather oval, long faces, and then their bodies having some sense of strength in them, and one thought that they would look better without the clothes than with them. There was too much awkwardness and constraint, although one might have been mistaken. Too much subtlety, he was thinking, altogether to want much to eat today. He said, I've been reading about this new book here. It says that his unwavering growth is continuing, that he has been achieving universal recognition as a master craftsman of the very first order. Taking another sandwich, he said, what has happened to my generation? Tell me, where are those that stood with me? And she answered, looking up above his head through the window to the peak of the barn, Isidore, shot in a raid, 1938. Leo, serving 2 years for addiction, 1944. Sarah, teaches dancing in New York, 1948. Those are the ones that matter. When will they call me, he said. When shall I resume my command? But she was clearing the table, and then she had gone into the kitchen, leaving him on the chair, still sitting, and he looked at the door and then turned to look out of the window and saw there the black and white cat with the mouse, while the other, the gray cat, sat some distance away, watching. Poetically, he was an instance of despair, one more, as he would put it, in the noon sun. He could plan himself out of books or without them, what he could do but couldn't then get to or come to it. He thought of Sarah as a body before him, which he would put out hands to touch or fingers to move over. That would be a body, he thought. Love. Was she one of those mentioned? She was. She is dancing in New York, although where wasn't mentioned. Would she dance well? He thought. I guess she would. I guess that would be love. Another instance, dancing or not. But the others, that would be more subtle. He spent that afternoon cleaning out a hen house, moving the caked litter in a basket to the truck, then taking it, when he had got the house clean, to the dump at the edge of the woods. It wasn't hard work so much as dusty, and his nose was blocked with the dust, and he coughed now and then. But it had to be done, he thought, but will they remember it 5 years from now? And then it was evening, and he could sit down again at the table and eat his supper. He ate it fast and with appetite, and she was pleased. After they had finished, he went into the other room, she before him, and sat down again in the chair some feet apart. He took up the book he had been reading in the morning, opened it, then shut it, and put it back. His wife had one of her own which she had begun to read. I think I'll go to New York, he said, and then waited. She went on with her reading. I think I'll leave tonight. She put the book down and looked at him, but annoyed and even hurt, and this surprised him. Go ahead, she said, but there isn't any money. I'll walk, he said. I'll run. I'll fly. Go ahead, she said. But why get angry, he said. Why take it that way? What is here to keep me? And why won't you come? I don't like New York, she said. It was there he could stop, he thought, right there, to hell with it. Women with bodies, but each different, and each with incomparable differences, and each with exciting differences. But I'm a lover, he thought. Good God, this is my vocation. You fat, stinking hag. Around the edge of the chair, one of the cats came and pushed against his foot, rubbing itself on his legs and purring. He put down his hand and stroked its back slowly so that his fingers could feel the fur, very soft and even, and almost like oil, very thin, on the fur. The cat purred and arched its back, then, tired of being stroked, and moved over to where his wife sat and jumped up to her lap, landing on the book and covering it. Annoyed, she pushed it down. Outside, down in the field, there was a mist coming up from the river, which he could still see in what light was left. It softened the outlines of the trees, covering them, and what he could now see of them was not the trees, but the mist covering the trees. A softness of the world, sentimental and odious. But what could he put against it, he thought, that it hadn't got to and covered? A softness of the world, a vacuum, an impenetrable emptiness. 2 years ago, he had been in New York with Leo and Sarah. They had stayed at Leo's apartment. Leo wanted Sarah. It was what he wanted, her, that is, but still the idea of having someone, that being what he had mentioned later. I was so alone, he said, having no one to sleep with. So what did you do? He didn't know, he thought, then or now. Not much in any event. I've never done much of anything. But Leo said, you slept with her, which was right, but that was up to her, and he could think of her in the bed after, when he had got up to go back to his own, saying, she said, stay with me, don't go back. And he felt her face because he was obliged to see what she was up to and found that there that she was crying, the tears coming down over her face, and he stayed where he was. And when Leo asked, he told him. How old, he thought, 23, 24, and still I can't keep my mouth shut, and old men talk too much. He saw her moving in her chair, and he sat up quickly and straight in his own. You've been asleep, she said. But he couldn't think that he had been or remember, and answered, no, that would be too easy and too right. I haven't been asleep. I watched you, she said, and you fell asleep. She was smiling. And why should she have to smile? What did you dream about, she asked. and smiled. Women, he said, nothing but women. Nice ones? She asked. You don't know them, he said, and tried to remember what he had dreamt about, but couldn't. But he thought, was I asleep? And where am I now? Whose room with such impossible furniture is this? The cat lay in a corner of the room, the one that he had stroked, curled on a blanket that lay there, the other close to it. So where am I, he thought. Is it still 1938? What year is it if it isn't 1938? He said to her, I don't do anything but think, do I? She had got up and was going out to the kitchen to feed the cats. She hadn't heard him. He tried again. I don't do a goddamn thing but think, do I? She was in the kitchen. He wondered if she had heard but didn't answer because she didn't want to. Why don't I work, he shouted. Why don't I get a job? Good Christ, who do I think I am? Sitting around here all day doing nothing. Look at other people. They work. They have jobs. They support their wives. Why don't I? It was very quiet in the house, he thought. Now that It was very quiet in the house, he thought. Now that he had stopped shouting, he could hear her in the kitchen getting the cat's food. No noise from the night came into the room, and looking out, all he could see was the black and the quiet. Nothing moved. Stop thinking about it. Get out of it. Let go. But the women are there, he thought. All of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Were there that many? No, he thought, there weren't. But there could be. There might even be more. As a possibility, he could add a half a dozen to begin with that he knew of and could perhaps someday add. That would be a beginning. But what compels me here? How about some music? He called to her. She was still in the kitchen feeding the cats. Some big wide chords. He waited, and then she answered, don't you want to go to bed? No, he said, I'm not tired. Let's have some music. He got up and went over to the phonograph. Reaching down to a rack below it, he pulled out an album, very worn and patched on the sides with tape. He took out 3 records, put them on the spindle, joggled them a little to make sure they would drop down one at a time, and then turned on the phonograph. In a minute, the sounds came out loud, deep, and fast. He moved out to the middle of the room, stood there listening, and then let his arms swing out in lazy circles, easy, and murmured to himself the sounds of the music. When it had finished, he turned around to find her standing in the doorway, smiling again and watching him. You look like Buddy, she said, but not very much. That's one you forgot, he answered. What about him? Where is he? He's in Mexico, she said, but you know that. He looked at her in the doorway and wondered. I know it, he said, but do you know it? Do you know what it means to me, for example? I think so, she said. No, you don't, he said. I do, but you don't. Wait a minute. He walked over to a table and took a letter from a small pile on one side. Listen to this. He unfolded the paper and read, Que nunca olvidate. He says here, you're a lad, que nunca olvidate. He had trouble pronouncing the Spanish, and she asked him to spell out the words. What does that mean, he said. It means, which nothing will obliviate. Nothing, he said. How does he get that way? What does he know about it down there in Mexico? Don't you like him, she said. But he turned and, folding the letter again, put it back on the table with the others. I like him, he said. Very much. She had gone over to the door and opening it, she looked at him to see if he was going to come, but he went back to a chair and sat down and said that he would read for a while. Take a bath. I'll be up soon. I haven't much to read. Then she was upstairs, moving around, turning the water on in the tub, and no other sounds but these. He took up the book again, opened it, but couldn't read it, and closing it, put it back on the table. Too often, he thought, I've done that. Too goddamn often these days. but thought then that what he would like would be no more than something obscene of the sort that he could remember having got hold of as a boy in school. But this was usual. But for a grown man, he thought, is it still usual? Upstairs, he found her still in the tub, stretched out and almost asleep. He had left the door open as he came in, and she complained of the cold draft from the hall. But he left it open long enough to annoy her and wake her up. Or perhaps no more than to annoy her. He didn't know. Then he closed it and stood waiting for her to get out of the tub. But she stayed where she was, and he looked at her there in the dirty water, gray, so that he couldn't see her under it, but only what was above her breasts, head, and knees. My wife, he said, look at you, you big common thing. Get up or you'll go to sleep. She smiled and then slowly started to get up, and the water slopped against the sides. He didn't wait, but went out, closing the door behind him and into their bedroom, and there undressed and putting on his pajamas, got into bed. Another book on the table, he thought, and there it was. Books everywhere, he thought, nothing but books. It was another he'd been reading, with a torn matchbook in it to mark the place where he had stopped. He reached down to his pants, which lay where he had dropped them on the floor, took out a package of cigarettes and a lighter. He lit one of the cigarettes and then put the pack and the lighter on the table beside the bed. Then she was in the room, and looking up at her, he saw she'd let her hair down and had put on lipstick so that her mouth looked bigger. Just like those books, he thought. And she said, I'm all clean. Do you like me? She got into the bed and rolled over against him and began to stroke him with her hand, her hair falling over his chest. And he said, look, what do you think I can do? What do you think I'm good for? But he was getting excited himself, and he reached over and with his hands took hold of her. But who is it, he was thinking, that I would want if it wasn't her? But would this be important now? He wondered. He wondered if it were, then, those projected images of those other women he was dealing with, then, in the bed with her on top, and around her and over her, or if it were himself, or where was he in it? Like some kind of impotent shell, useless to protect, he thought of the day and the sun and the lack of warmth, the north, being that climate he had no business in, too cold and hard, around him and over, on top, and talk, damn you, talk, he thought, say something that makes sense, that won't leave me always alone, here or there or nowhere I have chosen for myself, as I am now, here or there, but nowhere I would be. And the cats, he thought, the shell, the need for necessity to have dependence. She liked them, she fed them, they were hers. And it was useless not to be angry anymore, because he was and expected he would be for a long time, that it would continue to be her that he didn't want or like or didn't want to have close to him, and always busy, he thought, always busy. And could then scream, get away from me, you common thing. But she had rolled off and away, or he had, and lay there thinking, what was I thinking of? Try to think of something. Now, let me skip right to the end. Someone asked me earlier today to read a poem which I didn't have a copy of. You see how easy it is if you think of it. Is everybody leaving or coming in? Can you find some place to sit down? There's a chair here. No. All right. Why don't you sit down? I can't stand discomfort anymore. You can come up here. I don't want to put you into a compromising position, but you can come up here. Come on. Hey, Rosemarie, come on up. Come on. Keep me company. Please, why don't you come up and sit down? This is for you. Sit down. There are two poems that come in this form, written I think on the same day, which have to do with this image of the person of the dilemma that story takes its place from. It's a long time before one comes to some relief of these circumstances. I mean, it's a long time before I come to them. I mean, why I was much impressed by this summer's circumstance was that I felt very particular and very articulate people in that world were not saying this is your world, man. You've got to you're stuck with it. I've heard that condition expressed brilliantly by Stu Perkoff in a poem, you know, like, man, if that's your sound, make it. That's what you have as life, make that sound. But I was thinking of the condition of poetry, or rather the articulation that poetry can manage in Ed Sanders' work and in Leonore Kendall's. I sat behind three very lovely but very, very confused people listening to Leonore read that poem. I thought, God, you know, it's all free. You know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to, you know. And there was such confusion. She was saying, what, you know, if you were going to get a pet, what kind of animal would you get, you know? So anyhow, this is for Leonore. Let me read a poem for Leonore. A sight quicker than that can't get off the dead center of myself, he, I were walking, then the place is, was not ever enough, but the house, if admitted, were a curiously wrought complexity of flesh, the eyes, windows, the head, roof form with stubbornly placed bricks of chimney. I can remember, I can, then when she first touched me, when we were lying in that bed, was the feeling of falling into no matter. We both lay quiet. Where was it? I felt her flesh enclose mine. Cock, they say, prick, dick. I put it in her. I lay there. Come back, breasts. Come back. The sudden thing of being no one, I never felt guilty. I was confused, but could not feel wrong about it. I wanted to kill her. I tried it tentatively, just a little hurt me. So immense she was, all the day, lying flat, lying, it seemed, upon a salty sea, the houses bobbing around her, under her, I hung on for dear life to her. But when, now I walk, when the day comes to trees and a road, where is she? Oh, on my hands and knees, crawling forward. This goes back for me to a poem, which is a bad mistake. A poem that ends, only the end, I only want to read the ending of such a stupid, God, how dumb can you be in life and still stand on your feet? This was a poem called The Ballad of the Despairing Husband. I'm like, they know, bad news, man, bad news. You know, when someone comes on like that already. But listen to this, listen to this, listen to what I have as condition of feeling, and then listen to what I do with it. She was, I know, and she is still, and if I love her, then so I will, and I will tell her, and tell her right. O lovely lady, morning or evening or afternoon, O lovely lady, eating with or without a spoon. O most lovely lady, whether dressed or undressed or partly. O most lovely lady, getting up or going to bed or sitting only. O loveliest of ladies, than whom none is more fair, more gracious, more beautiful. O loveliest of ladies, whether you are just or unjust, merciful, indifferent, or cruel. O most loveliest of ladies, doing whatever, seeing whatever, being whatever. O most loveliest of ladies, in rain, in shine, in any weather. O lady, grant me time, please, to finish my rhyme. You know, if I could just have absented those last two lines from this. Oh, lady, grant me time, please, to finish my rhyme. She it. No, I mean, how long do you have to be in the world to know that you don't have to say please? I see such lovely friends here tonight. Well, you know, there's a lovely lady here, Mrs. Kuhlman, Nora. Remember that time I gave you the naked lunch to read when you went to the hospital? Oh, boy. I mean, words are real, aren't they? Remember that lady who that you had the room with, and Dr. Benway turned out to be all too real? And you get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the gray window and say, it's dark out here. And this lady said, you know, my dear, why are you upset, et cetera, et cetera, you know. And walked to the window and said, but it really is dark out here. You know, and she started crying too. Well, that's a real condition, you know. The rest of it you make up all by yourself. The whole... Again, I was thinking apropos this afternoon, there is a pit. I mean, there's a pit. Pits, unhappily, not like Chuang Tzu or however you pronounce his name, but the element of that scene, it is black. It is an open hole of horror, of nothing as if was, not nothing if it, wait a minute now, it is black. It is an open hole of horror, of nothing as if not enough, there is nothing, a pit which he recognizes, familiar, sees the use in, a hole for anger, and fills it with himself, yet watches on the edge of it as if she were not to be pulled in, a hand could stop him, then as the shouting, as there is a... this is better. The whole. There is a silence to fill, a foot, a fit, fall, filled. If you are not careful, all the water spills. One day at the lake, I took off my bathing suit in the water, peed with pleasure, all out, all the water, wipe yourself into the tight ass paper is pushed. Fatty Arbuckle, the one hero of the school, took a Coke bottle, pushed it up his girl. But I wouldn't dare. Later, felt there, opened myself. Broken glass, broken silence, filled with screaming. On the bed, she didn't want it, but said after, the only time it felt right was I to force her mother, sister, once seen, had breasts, my father, I can't remember, but a man in some building, we were all swimming, took out his to piss, it was large, he was the teacher, everywhere there is pleasure, deep with hands and feet, I want to. Now I can't wait any longer. Talk to me. Fill emptiness with you, empty hole. I love that. I love that poem. Fatty Arbuckle went to Holderness School in Plymouth, New Hampshire. I realize there were later other associations that he had had. God, broken glass, broken silence, filled with screaming. And also I was talking to Lou Welsh today. We were talking about Jack Kerouac and the fact that Jack in that situation at Big Sur in the hot springs, he said there was an incredible density of people there, leaping around, naked. I remember going swimming without no clothes on at Stinson Beach, leaping into the surf and eating mussels and drinking wine and all. And that was with Gary and with that whole company. But Jack in Big Sur, you know, he has a section. He said he could see things floating. Could see, as Lou said, he could see jism floating in the in this hot. You know, I think, my God, for Christ's sake, Jack. But he was wearing his bathing suit. he had his swimming trunks, as he put it. Oh, it's lovely, you know. Well, Jack is a man of my, not of my. I can't accumulate or assert my relation to him so simply, but. I was from West Acton, which is 15 miles from Lowell, in a westerly direction, and I know what he means about swimming trunks. We were talking about, he said, you know, and also Lou was saying that there's nobody who can drive cars from the east. The great driver, Neil Cassidy, I think, is a great driver, but there's some great drivers from the east, those winding country roads. But apparently, we keep wearing a bathing suit. That's sitting in the wet trunks in your mother's car. Felt so alive and honored, me, least of all possibilities, yet in bed before you, the patient flower. I want to read, let me read one poem, or two poems, and then I think we've, this is a poem of these impulses. Distance. Hadn't I been aching for you, seeing the light there such shape as it makes, the bodies fall, have fallen open? Isn't it such a form one wants, the warmth as sun light on you? But what were you, where, one thought, I was always thinking, the mind itself, impulse of form, last realized, nothing otherwise but a stumbling, looking after a picture of light through dust on an indeterminate distance, which throws a radiator into edges shining, the woman's long length, the movement of the child on her, their legs from behind. Eyes, days, and forms photograph, glazed eyes, dear hands. We are walking. I have a face grown hairy and old. It has grayed to white on the sides of my cheeks. Stepping out of the car with these endless people. Where are you? Am I happy? Is this car mine? Another life comes to its presence. Here, you sloughing beside me, me off, my self's warmth gone inward. A stepping car, walking waters on such a place like the size of great breasts, warmth and moisture come forward, waking to that edge of the silence. the falling back from, as in love or casual friendship. I am so happy to meet you. These meetings, it is meet we write to one another. The slipshod, half-felt heart's uneasinesses in particular forms, waking to a body felt as a hand pushed between the long legs. Is this only the form? Your face is unknown to me, but the hair, the springing hair there, despite the rift, the cleft between us, is known, my own. What have they done to me? Who are they coming to me on such informed feet with such substance of forms, pushing the flesh aside, step in to my own, my longing for them? I would read one short one. I'm sorry, my voice is gone. I love this one. Song. What do you want, love, to be loved? What wanted love, wanted so much as love, like nothing considered, no feeling but a simple recognition, forgotten sits in its feeling, two things, one and one. Fine, thank you very much.